Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to our Money Matters session, our last family orientation session of the afternoon. So thank you for being here. I am joined by some of my campus colleagues that are going to share their expertise on different financial related matters here at the university. And I am joined by Casey Bosley, who is the assistant bursar, Jennifer Wickham, who is Senior Assistant Director of Financial Aid and Admissions, Shakima Clancy, who serves as the Peggy Conan Associate Dean of Students for Student Empowerment, and Chris Bomaso, Business Manager for Cornell Dining. So Casey's gonna start us off with information from the bursar's office. Thank you, Casey.
Good afternoon, everyone. Can everyone hear me in the back? Perfect, excellent. First off, I just want to say congratulations on being accepted to Cornell and welcome to the university. We look forward to working with you and your families over the next few years as you go through here. The bursar office, we are the central billing office for the university. We are the ones that put out your bill that you should have received at this point, including your tuition, your housing, your meal plan, health insurance, or the student health fee. That invoice would have went out back on July 9th. At this point, I hope everyone has paid it, as it was already due back on August 7th. If there were circumstances beyond your control where you did not get that paid and you ended up with a late fee on your last bill that came out earlier this month, please send us an email at bursar@cornell.edu. We do offer finance charge waivers on occasion if there is circumstances that are beyond your control. Here are some important billing dates for those who might want to take a photo of this. This is also located on our website. For billing, we do it each month on the second Friday, and the due date is set, so it's always the 7th of each month. So good practice to get into if it's getting towards the beginning of the month, around the 1st, and you haven't seen your bill yet, please log into CashNet and look at that bill and make sure that it is paid so you don't have any unnecessary late fees. Here's a copy of what many of your invoices looked like back in July. As you can see on here, it includes the tuition. This student had some PE courses. Just so you are aware, not all PE courses have a fee associated with them. If you are looking like at sailing or something like that, please keep in mind that does have a fee and it can be pretty significant. So when you're enrolling, look at what you're doing and make sure you consult with your family if they're helping you pay the bill. There's also on here the housing, the meal plan, and then you'll see under the pending aid section where the student is receiving financial aid. At this point, most financial aid has already paid through as long as you've done everything that you needed to do. For those who are interested in seeing that activity, at this point, because it wasn't on your August statement, you want to look at your activity details in CashNet. That serves as basically recent activity or any activity in between billing cycles. CashNet is our billing portal. With this system, you can also remit payment. You can also set up your payment plan if you're looking to pay your tuition over the course of 5 months, so it's throughout the term. If you've already paid your bill in full this time, but you're interested in enrolling in the payment plan for spring, you absolutely may do so. If you want to jot on your calendar, that's going to start on January 1st, and you can enroll in that in December. Through CashNet, at this point, you can also set up other payers. So students, if your family is helping you pay, please make sure that you set them up in CashNet as an authorized person. That way they're getting the email notifications, they can help you manage your bill, they can see your tax statements when they become available, make payments on your behalf, and most importantly, they can talk to our office. For families that don't have access to CashNet, we are unable to actually give you any specific information regarding your student's account, so it is very important that you have proper access. One of the programs our office offers is the Cornell Card program. This program is tied to your ID card, and it allows you to use your ID card to make on-campus purchases, like at the Cornell store, to buy like your textbooks, clothing, miscellaneous items. You have a purchase limit of up to $1,500. This is not free money, though, so whatever you spend, you do have to pay back. So if for today you go down to the Cornell store and you spend $600, know next month you're going to get a bill from us and you're going to want to pay that by the 7th of the following. For that program, there is a $10 participation fee that's charged on a per semester basis. If you've accidentally enrolled in the service because you didn't realize what it was and you don't wish to be enrolled in it, send our office an email from your Cornell email and just request to have that canceled. To pay your bill, many of our students use financial aid as a resource, whether that be scholarships, grants, loans. For anything left over, you can set up your installment plan through CashNet. For the fall term, it did begin August 1st, but it is not too late to enroll. So if you haven't paid your bill and you're looking to set up that installment plan, go ahead and do so. The plan is interest-free. There's just an enrollment fee of $125. You pay that the day that you enroll. Since the plan did start August 1st, if you were to enroll today, it would also ask you to make your August installment. Payments go from August to December 1st, and they are split into 5 equal installments. For that, you can use a U.S. checking or savings account, so you would link up your routing number and your account number like an e-check. You can also use an eligible 529, so there is a list that CashNet works with, and you can pick the one. If it's not there, then unfortunately you'll have to contact your 529 and actually have them send us a check directly, and the installment plan would not work. You can also use a credit card for the installment plan only. So if you're looking for your airline miles and you really want to use it, go ahead and do so through the installment plan. I do want to let you know that there is a convenience fee that is assessed and retained by CashNet. So for domestic cards, it is 2.75%, and for international cards, it's 4.25%. For all wire transfers, you'd want to book your payment through Flywire. Once you've booked your payment, they'll give you the wire instructions. So this is both for domestic and international. The nice thing with Flywire is you can actually see where your payment is in progress and when the school receives it. Typically, from the date that you take your, basically your booking details to your bank, we generally have that payment posted to your account within 2 to 3 business days following. We also accept checks, so that is money orders, personal checks, and cashier checks. You can mail them to our office, or if you're on campus and have personal checks and you prefer to do that, you can come in Monday through Friday and drop those off as well. For student refunds, we have already started issuing refunds for the fall term for overpayment or if you have surplus financial aid by chance. There are 2 ways to receive refunds from our office, either via direct deposit into a preferred U.S. checking or savings account. You would set that up electronically through the NELNET system. The link is located on the Bursar website, so if you go to bursar.cornell.edu, you'll scroll about halfway down and you'll see under the students area where it says direct deposit. Just click on that and follow the prompts. The other option, if you have not signed up for direct deposit, then you would be receiving a paper check. Paper checks are made payable to the student and the student only because it's your account. So just keep that in mind. We cannot make checks payable to the parents unless you have, for example, a Parent PLUS loan and you're getting a check from that. That would be in the parent name. For the refund checks, you can take those to Tompkins Trust right at the Cornell store to deposit, or you can, if you have a bank that does the e-deposit, you could do that as well, obviously. I also want to mention the elective tuition refund plan. So this allows students, for example, if you had to take a medical leave at the end of the semester, where you would normally be responsible for the full amount of tuition that you were charged, if you have a medical claim and you have to leave for medical reasons, you can, if you have this plan, you can get 85% of your tuition back. So you would work with your medical doctor or your provider to help you get that claim submitted, and then 85% of the tuition would come back onto your Bursar account as a doer insurance claim. You could then request a refund or leave it for the next term when you're rejoining. This is just for tuition only though, so it does not go towards housing or dining. The cost for this is $193 per semester, or you can go ahead and purchase it for the entire year for the $386. For questions, you're more than welcome to email us at bursar@cornell.edu. We also have phones Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., and then 2 to 4 p.m. at 607-255-2336. You can also set up an appointment through Cornell Chatter. You can either find this directly on the Bursar website, or you can go to Student Essentials. And we do in-person and Zoom appointments. And you can pick that right when you're setting up your appointment. Okay, I'm going to pass it off to Jennifer now, and then we'll be answering some questions at the end.
Thank you. Thanks, April. So hi, my name is Jennifer Wickham, and I'm in the Office of Financial Aid. We are located in Day Hall. Before I get started, I just want to welcome all of you, families, students. We're just coming back from a long hiatus of being on campus, and we're just so excited to have students here. We're happy to be back. We miss seeing all of you in April when you did your admissions process. Our whole goal on campus is here to be here to help you guys understand and help you financially if we can. Sorry. So what I want to do is talk a little bit about what we do, how we do it, and what else we can do to help you. So I'm going to start today by assuming that most of you completed the financial aid process during the admission cycle in the spring. If you did not, and you still feel like you need help with the bill, we understand that it's been a period of turmoil for a lot of families, do not hesitate to reach out to us and ask about applying for aid. It is still possible to do. We're going to need a little bit of an explanation, but we are happy to walk you through the process and get that started now so that we can help you with your current bill. On the other hand, if you have aid and are an aid recipient and have had a change at home financially, it can be financial, can be personal, things like that, contact us because we'd like to help you if we can. We're going to ask again for some documentation to get a feel for what's going on, but we are more than happy to reach out and work with you to try to get you some more aid if it can be done. So right now is a very busy time in our office. So we are in the process of wrapping up financial aid applications for our current students. At the same time, our office is responsible for all the loan processing on campus, and we also process all of the outside scholarships that many of the students here have received. So what I'm going to do now is talk a little bit about the loan process and a little bit about outside scholarships. So as Casey mentioned, most of the financial aid at least has paid through on your bursar bill. If you're still seeing pending aid on your bill, a couple things you want to look for. If you had loans, which many of our students do in their financial aid packages, there are three steps that you need to complete in order to have those loans go from pending aid to payable aid. The first one is only the students can do this. The first thing the student needs to do is accept their loans on the student center. They have three choices. They can accept the loan, they can decline the loan if they don't want the loans, or they can reduce the amount of the loan. Once they've accepted it, there's two other steps that need to be completed for the federal direct loans. Both of them are online at the Department of Ed. The first step is going to be to complete a master promissory note. The master promissory note is also often referred to as an MPN. What that is the student's signature on the loan documents, notifying the government and agreeing to pay the money back. The entrance counseling session is a tutorial about borrowing money. The government and the university both want to make sure that students understand that a loan is a loan, it will start accruing interest, and that it will have to be paid back at some point in time. The other type of loans that we could have assigned to your students would have been a university loan, which this year is a Gardner loan on the awards that you received. So for a Gardner loan, that's a loan sourced by the university, and you do need to complete the equivalent of a master promissory note in an entrance counseling session. You'll see that or get emails from us about a Regulation Z document. That's what this document is. Again, there's a promissory component and an entrance counseling tutorial proponent to that as well. So there are lots of options for students to request additional loan funding from the university. One of the most common things that students borrow money for is to help cover their student contribution. That would have been $2,700 for an incoming freshman. Some of the other items that you can request for would be things that would increase your cost of attendance that may not be included in the current budget. One of the options is going to be for additional educational expenses. Again, one of the common things that we do is students will often take out loans to purchase a computer. They can do that every 2 years, and we can issue them a loan of up to $1,500 to buy that computer. Some of the other things they can borrow money for would be course expenses, medical reasons, and housing. Many of you probably were, if you're a grant recipient and were placed in a single, we will be giving you grant money to cover that. If you requested a single, then it's on you to cover that additional charge. We can give you a loan to help pay for that. As an upperclassman, if you move off campus and your housing rent is more than what we have budgeted, we can also give you a loan to help pay for housing if that's needed. Outside scholarships. There are lots of students who have many, many outside scholarships here at the university. We are in the process of, we are just beginning to process those. What you need to be aware of is an outside scholarship is going to help adjust a student's starting self-help. So that's going to be the initial loans and work that were in their financial aid package. We will replace those loans and the work component, as well as the student contribution, with outside scholarship funds if the student has received that much in funding. What it won't do is it's not going to reduce the parent contribution. The other documents that can be treated like an outside scholarship could be a tuition reimbursement plan or a tuition benefit plan, if any of the parents have that from your employers. So most of you who have aid, and even if you don't have aid, there's lots of opportunity to work on campus as a student worker. If you received aid, you could have had what's called federal work study in your financial aid packages, or something called employment earnings expectation. Both just are letting you know that to get those funds, you need to get a job on campus. What you should know is there's thousands and thousands of student jobs on campus. It's up to you to find the jobs. There are many search engines. The place I would start would be the student employment website, but then several other agencies on campus, the hotel school, athletics, dining may have their own website as well. So there's lots of places to look for jobs. One of the common questions we get is, if I am working on campus, do I get those funds and do I get to spend them? And the answer is yes. They will not pay directly to your bursar account. You will receive a paycheck biweekly for the hours that you've worked. It's up to you as a student and your parents how you are going to use those discretionary funds. Whether you save them to buy transportation home or pizza on Friday night, totally up to you to help cover those additional expenses. The other thing you should know is that we do have emergency funding available on campus. If you have something come up unexpectedly, come see us, come talk to us. We do have access to a couple of funds that we can help often aid students to get what they need to get through whatever they're trying to get through. So the other thing is this is a fun process that you get to do every year if you're a financial aid recipient. So the process starts as early as the 1st of October this fall. So the FAFSA will be the first document that you need to complete. It will open up, as I said, October 1st. The deadline for a continuing student will be March 15th of next spring. Once we get your FAFSA, we will be able to determine if we need any additional documents from you. So students, you need to watch for emails from our office and watch your student center for a list of things we might need from you going forward. So we too are open. We are open Monday through Friday. We have email, phones, we do appointments, either virtually or in person. And we also are open in the afternoons for walk-ins for parents or students if you want to just stop by and see us and if you have questions. At the end, we'll take questions. Enjoy your time here. I know it's coming to a close for the parents. Enjoy what you've got left and contact us if we can help you with anything.
Hello, everyone. My name is Shakima Clancy. I use the pronouns she, her, and hers, and I serve as the Associate Dean of Students for Student Empowerment and the Director of First Generation Low-Income Student Support. Before I begin, I want you to know that our admissions team is an amazing group of folks, and they've done an outstanding job admitting an exciting and diverse group of students for the class of 2025. You all belong here. You all have what it takes to be successful, and we're excited to support you on this educational journey. I knew doing this presentation I would have a captive audience, so before I jump into the content, I wanted to take some time to introduce you to the Dean of Students Diversity and Inclusion portfolio. Several of my colleagues who work in this space are super enthusiastic and excited about supporting you, and so if when you were walking on when you were walking from North Campus today, you may have seen the DJ and several tents set up on Thurston Avenue. Those are my colleagues, right? And so I just want to talk with you a little bit about the resources that we provide, as well as the ways in which we help students find community and get connected to other students who share similar identities. Included in the Dean of Students Diversity and Inclusion portfolio includes our Asian and Asian American Center, our LGBT Resource Center, and our Women's Resource Center. Additionally, I provide support for students who identify as first-generation college students. And if you're not aware, roughly 19.4% of the students in the class of 2025 self-identify as first-generation college students. And those are students who come from families in which neither parent or guardian had the opportunity to obtain a four-year bachelor's degree. Additionally, my colleague Christian works with our students who identify as undocumented. That includes students with or without DACA status. My colleagues Patricia and Jarvis work with our Multicultural Student Leadership and Empowerment. They work to support over 150 student organizations that focus on identity and affinity-based student organizations. And then last but not least, my colleague Oliver, who's located in Annabelle Taylor Hall, he works to support our students who are exploring opportunities to engage in spiritual and religious practices, and also to identify ways to explore and make sense of things that are going on in the world. So if this is something that appeals to you, I encourage you to get connected to our team. So I'm going to take some time to talk with you about five tips and strategies to help your student manage their finances. Number one, it's extremely important, I'm talking to you all students, that you utilize campus resources. I know you all were great students in high school and you've demonstrated your potential to be successful. But the college environment can be challenging for some students, and I would say all students will encounter an obstacle at some point. In order to help you overcome that obstacle, it's extremely important that you utilize the campus resources. Some of those campus resources include tutoring, the library, our writing center, our math lab. All of these resources are free and available for you to utilize at any point throughout your college journey. We found that our most successful students at Cornell are the students who take advantage of campus resources. So I hope you take our invitation and utilize the campus resources. When you're thinking about managing your finances, it's important to avoid unnecessary fees and fines. And that could include misplacing your residence hall key, a parking ticket, a late library fine. So do what you can to stay on top of those fees and to minimize them so you can keep your disposable income for yourself. Families, as someone who has college-age children, I think it's important for you to recognize this opportunity to help your student increase their financial literacy and knowledge. And so maybe taking the opportunity to talk with them about budgeting, about their checking account, about savings accounts. We also have resources and programs. For example, our Women's Resource Center will offer a workshop throughout the fall semester on financial literacy. So take advantage of opportunities to grow your financial knowledge. It's important also to prepare for financial emergencies. Of course, we don't know when they're going to occur, but you can help minimize the financial stress if you have access to resources if an emergency presented itself. As my colleague Jennifer talked about, there are several opportunities for students to find employment on campus. We strongly encourage students to take advantage of opportunities to work on campus opposed to off campus. And that's for multiple reasons. One, I would say campus employers are more aware of what it means to be a Cornell student. And so they can work with your student in regards to managing their time, helping students identify opportunities to explore their academic interests, and then also develop professional skills to help you now as well as your life after college. So definitely encourage you to explore those opportunities for on-campus student employment. And that ranges anywhere from working in the library, a fitness center, the dining hall, or even in your academic building. So seek out those opportunities if you're interested in finding employment on campus. I just want to highlight a couple of the resources that we have available to support you throughout your time here at Cornell. Although all first-year students are required to have a meal plan, I wanted to make you aware of the Swipe a Hunger program. This is an initiative that we put in place about 2.5 years ago to support students who are facing food insecurity on campus. In addition to the Swipe a Hunger program, we also have the Cornell Food Pantry on campus. And so for students, if you have, well, you have a meal plan, as part of your meal plan, you have bonus meals, also known as a guest meal, if you wanted to take a family member to the dining hall. But as part of your meal plan, if you have the unlimited meal plan, you have 8 bonus meals. And if you're interested in donating one of those bonus meals to help support our students who are facing food insecurity, you can do so by just emailing dining@cornell.edu. The Access Fund is a resource, as Jennifer talked about, resources to support students dealing with emergency situations or to access basic necessities or transformative experiences. Our Access Fund provides support for students who come from lower income backgrounds or who have demonstrated financial need, and that can help with a winter coat or winter boots, professional attire, a student who unfortunately may be faced with a situation where they have to travel home for a death in the family. And so that's a resource that we have available to support students, in addition to the Cornell Emergency Fund. I'm gonna skip ahead and jump down to our academic skills and tutoring. It's important to recognize that financial stress and financial situations can also exacerbate and create obstacles for students in other areas of their lives. And so as I shared previously, it's important for you to take advantage of the academic resources we have, as well as student support services inside of your individual colleges and schools. Those are also great places where you can find resources to help support if you wanted to study abroad, engage in undergraduate research, or engage in community service. So again, take advantage of those resources. The last two areas I wanted to highlight is counseling and psychological services and student disability services. A lot of our students take advantage of these resources prior to coming to Cornell, and they're looking to continue those services and or initiate those services during their time at Cornell. I wanted to highlight that these resources are available, they're free, and they're there for you to take advantage of. And so again, my name is Shakeem McClency, and I'll stay behind at the end. Also, we'll take some time at the end for you to answer any questions that you may have. Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everybody. While we wait for the slides to, wow, that was fast. We're getting good at this. While we waited for the slides to come up, I wanted to introduce myself. My name is Chris Bomasode. I'm the business manager for Cornell Dining. And on behalf of myself and the rest of the dining team, I want to let you know how thrilled we are to have you all on campus this fall, and we can't wait to serve you over the next 4 years. So I put a brief agenda together today to try to highlight some of the questions that I would have if I were sitting in your seat today. The first question being, what exactly is my meal plan? What are the nuts and bolts of it? How does it work? Now that I know how my meal plan works, where can I use it? And knowing that Cornellians are an inquisitive bunch, the final question I would ask is, what else can you tell me? So everybody in this room that's a first year or transfer student has a meal plan. All of our freshmen are on the unlimited plan. Our transfers have the option between the unlimited and the 14 meal a week plan. Next year as sophomores, you too will have the option for unlimited or 14. But for this year, the unlimited is what all of our freshmen are having. Our meal plans are all broken down into three major parts: meal swipes, big red bucks, and bonus meals. Now, meal swipes are the bread and butter of your meal plan. Come on, folks. That was a good pun. All right, thank you. Thank you. So with the unlimited meal plan, that means you have unlimited meal swipes to use throughout the semester. So if you wake up and you want to go get a cup of coffee, go use a meal swipe. Get out of the shower, get cleaned up. You want to have breakfast? Go ahead, go use another meal swipe. You want to have lunch, second lunch, dinner, supper, late night? Knock yourself out. With the 14 meal a week plan, you've got 14 meal swipes to use through the course of a week, and our dining week runs from Thursday to Wednesday. These meal swipes can be used at any of our 10 all you care to eat locations, and we'll cover where those are shortly. So next you've got your big red bucks. This is a declining balance. You'll hear people refer to them as BRBs. And these are monies that you can use at any of our retail or coffee shop locations. You start the semester with 400. As you work through the semester, if you have to add money, you can through the Get app or our website. These BRBs do roll from fall to spring, but if you have an unused balance in the spring, you've got to use them up. Now, I know that we've got an inquisitive finance major in here saying, well, Chris, that's dandy, but I get 5% back on my credit card purchases, which is an astute observation. Let me tell you what we can offer. You get 2% discount on all purchases with your BRBs and pay zero tax on them. Sales tax in New York is 8%. 8%. So math majors, what is 2% plus 8%? 10%. Very, come on, class, wake up. 10%. So if I have 400 BRBs in my account and I get 10% off, that 400 acts like 440. Econ majors, what do we call that? Purchasing power, very good. Use the power, use the BRBs. And lastly, we have bonus meals. So with the unlimited meal plan, you get 8 bonus meals per semester. If you want to take your family or friends out for a night on the town in the dining room, here's your chance to show off a little bit. So now that I know how to use my plan, where can I use it? So we break our campus down into 3 geographic regions: North Campus, which is on the north part of campus; West Campus, which is to our west, very good; and Central Campus, and that's where we are right now, as indicated by the "you are here" arrow on our map. This will become important shortly, trust me. So where are the all-you-care-to-eat locations? Now, I mentioned we have 10 of them, and before one of my math majors jumps in and says, Chris, there's 11 up there, allow me to explain. On North Campus, we have North Star, Robert Purcell, and Risley Dining. Risley is our gluten-free, allergen-free location. All recipes are free of peanuts, tree nuts, or gluten. And beginning in January, Morrison Dining Hall will open, which is in the Toni Morrison Hall, and Robert Purcell will be continuing to serve dinner. North Star will come offline. So we'll still have 3 up there. Excuse me for 1 second. I get so excited talking about meal plans that I need to catch myself once in a while. Now on West Campus, we have 5, we call them houses. These are dining halls located in a residence hall. This housing is for sophomores and above, but anybody can go enjoy those dining halls on West Campus. In addition to the house system, we have 104 West, which is our kosher dining facility. And here on Central Campus, we have Oak and Shields, which has recently been expanded to take over what was the Ivy Room. So now we can accommodate twice as many people in that dining hall. These are the list of some of our 19 retail locations. I won't go through all of them, but Trillium is located directly below our feet. Next door to that is Bus Stop Bagels. We have a food truck. We have Martha's, which was a full revamp as of last year. On North Campus, we just opened Crossings Cafe, so that's brand new this year. And you can also use your BRBs up at the golf course if you'd like to eat at the Moakley House. We have coffee shops across various libraries. This year we've added the Man Cafe to our portfolio. And we also have 2 convenience stores on campus. They carry medicine, toiletries, also food and drink. On North Campus, that's Bare Necessities, located in Robert Purcell. And on West Campus, we have Jansen's Market. So, what else can I tell you? Well, this year we've launched an initiative in support of sustainability, where we have issued every meal plan holder an eco box that can be used for takeout. So this is a reusable container. It's not meant to be thrown away. So you should have received a voucher when you moved in to redeem one of these boxes at any of our All You Care to Eat facilities. The cashier will give you the box. You can fill it up, take it out and eat. Just wipe it down, and next time you come in, hand it back in. We'll wash it for you and give you a new box on the spot. We also have some resources within dining. Each of our All You Care to Eat facilities does have a chef in-house. And we also have a nutritionist. Her name is Michelle. So if you have any allergies or dietary restrictions, feel free to shoot her an email at diningnutrition@cornell.edu, and she can get you set up with a chef for a custom menu to accommodate any of your needs. Shakima mentioned our Swipe Out Hunger program. If you have meals that you'd like to donate, please check that out. We covered a lot of information today, but there's still a lot of stuff we didn't cover. So if you do have questions that we don't address at the end of the session, check out our website, scl.cornell.edu/reslifedining, or you can just shoot us an email, dining@cornell.edu. Lastly, we've talked a lot about employment today. I would like to recommend that you take a job with Dining. We've got very flexible schedules. We have a friendly staff. Heck, we may get to work together, which sounds like a bonus in and of itself, doesn't it? I thought so. So you can apply through the Dining website, through the student employment website, or just text BRB to 52855, and we can get the process started there. So with that, we will open the floor to questions.
Thanks so much, Chris. If you do have any questions, if you don't mind raising your hand, I'll be happy to bring the microphone to you. One in the middle here.
Hi, I never got the voucher for the EcoBox. I was wondering where I can get one.
Sure, so if you didn't receive the voucher, just let the door checker know when you get into the facility, and they can give you a box there.
Another question?
Thank you. So I see that there's a Robert Purcell's Market Eatery, and I remember we also went into a dining upstairs. Is that different from the eatery?
Nope, that's the same location. It's called Robert Purcell Market Eatery, yep.
I see. Is there a market, separate marketplace downstairs?
There is a convenience store on the first floor called Bare Necessities. And that's a place where you can find any toiletries, medicines. We also have a grill set up there as well.
Okay, thank you.
Hello, this is about scholarship. You mentioned that the scholarship is, can you explain that, how it is adjusted towards the tuition fees? So what goes first? What gets adjusted first? And then what will be?
I'm not sure I understand what you're asking, I'm sorry.
So let's say the student gets a scholarship of $10,000. So how does it get adjusted according to its fees? Oh. And you said the family contribution doesn't get adjusted.
So when you get an outside scholarship, what it's going to do is reduce the loans and the work in the student's award, and then it will reduce the student contribution. Unless the scholarship is specific for tuition, it will pay anything that's on the bill. Absent the family contribution, correct. It will not go towards the family contribution.
She has a question first. I'll come
up. For the jobs on campus for work study, what is the pay rate, and does it range, or is it the same across all jobs?
No, the pay, there's four or five different levels to the pay scale. The minimum wage is New York State minimum wage, which $12.50 an hour, right about there, or by the end of the year it'll be $12.50 an hour. And then it goes up based on the job description and the skill set needed, just like our jobs do.
Okay. And is there a way to know, like, which one is the highest paying?
If you check with the, it's going to be based on the employer when you talk to the employers.
Okay. Thank you.
Just as a follow-up, I imagine many of, as a student is looking at the various job opportunities, the salary will be posted on the job description. So that's a way in which if they wanted to compare a job maybe in the library versus a job in the computer lab, which may require two different skill sets, they'll see the payment or the compensation listed on the job description.
Thank you, I didn't realize that.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I missed at the beginning when you guys talk about 529. Is there a special process if we have a 529?
So you have a couple different options. So for your 529, you can check through CashNet to see if they work directly with CashNet, and you can do like an electronic disbursement through them. There's a $10 fee to do that, and then you would just put in like your account number and stuff with that 529 so they can withdraw the funds. The other option, if they don't participate with CashNet, is you would contact your 529 administrator and request to do a disbursement. You do want to check with your 529 though before actually requesting the funds to find out what they consider qualified or non-qualified expenses, so that way you know for taxes for the following year. But basically, you're just going to have them make a check payable to Cornell University. You'll need to make sure that you provide them your student's ID number. That way, they put that on the check for us. When we get it, then we apply it to the student's account.
Hi, I missed the initial part of it, so I wanted to check in the laundry section. I uploaded almost a month back $50, and I cannot find where to track them because in the to-do list it's still showing pending. So I don't know how to track that, or is there a place where I can go and find where we can figure out where the account can be tallied now? We did the transaction, we are international, my son is an international student, so there was a credit card transaction on that. So we've been billed for that, so I don't know whether it is sitting in the dining account or is it sitting in the laundry account.
Okay, why don't we connect afterward and I can just make sure that I understand your question better and I can give you a better answer then.
Okay, thank you.
This will be our last question. If you do have individual questions for our presenters afterwards, they'll be staying around for a few minutes.
I'm sure my question will be the easiest to answer. Where does my daughter go to complete a master promissory note?
They're done electronically online.
They're done electronically?
They're all electronic. So if you go to the financial aid website for mm-hmm. the federal direct loans, there is a direct link under the loans category. If your daughter has a university loan, she will get an email from ECSI with instructions on how to complete it and where to go to do that.
All right, I'll have to go into her email then.
And she would have also received emails with directions from our office or from
ECSI. I'll have to look again. I saw some emails about this, but I couldn't get to a conclusion on the whole thing. So I'll have to look around.
When we're done, I can give you a little more specifics.
All right, thank you.
Sure.
Thank you so much for your questions. We are at time. But again, if you have individual questions, our panelists will be staying around afterwards, and they'll be happy to chat with you. Thank you for joining us this afternoon. Have a wonderful day.